It's not just Israel that lives in fear of a nuclear attack, but here in the United States, the fear is not of an attack from another country, it's of a terrorist strike. The World's Alex Gallafent reports from New York on the nature of that fear.
During the Cold War, stockpiles of nuclear weapons threatened to end our world. But it was the Cold War that ended, and with it much of our nuclear anxiety. And then, 8 years ago, a new kind of Armageddon came here, to New York City.
There had always been this idea that terrorists had limits.
This is Michael Levy, author of a book called On Nuclear Terrorism.
There was a phrase people used, they want a lot of people watching, not a lot of people dead. 9/11 showed that some of them want a lot of people dead and that they didn't have those restraints. For others, it also signaled that they were more technologically sophisticated. And put those two things together, and it got people particularly concerned about the threat of nuclear terrorism.
It wasn't just regular people who got spooked. U.S. policymakers have been trying to picture it, too.
Almost every American analysis of the threat of nuclear terrorism involves some sort of simulation or description of an event that happens with Ground Zero at Grand Central Station, right where we are here in New York. People talk about the zone around it that would be destroyed, what would be hit by fire, what would be hit by broken glass, and they use that to really illustrate graphically to people what the potential consequences are of a nuclear terrorist attack, and they are really terrifying.
So, since 9/11, our nuclear anxiety has returned in the full color of our imaginations. And now, instead of Cold War adversaries, we're worried about terrorists carrying suitcase bombs and the rogue states that might support them.
Are you out of your mind?
You need to get out of Los Angeles now.
Thanks to TV shows such as 24, our current fear mixes up all kinds of cultural stereotypes, nefarious scientists and belligerent dictators. And more, says Spencer Wirt, author of Nuclear Fear. There are atomic spies and rogue regimes, strange political philosophies and perversions of religion.
All of these things lead us into feelings that these are people that we don't understand, that maybe they don't have self-control. And then when you add in terrorists, the whole question becomes even wilder. Nobody has control over the terrorist. And we wonder whether they even have control over their own impulses.
But what about our own impulses? Some have argued that our fears of the mushroom cloud have been stoked to gin up support for shaky propositions, notably the 2003 invasion of Iraq. But others say, in general, those fears are not unreasonable when you're talking about a group like Al-Qaeda.
Just one nuclear weapon exploded in a city, be it New York or Moscow, Tokyo or Beijing, London or Paris, could kill hundreds of thousands of people. And it would badly destabilize our security, our economies, and our very way of life.
That was at the UN Security Council last week. Graham Allison directs the Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs at Harvard. He says for policymakers, that kind of thought experiment is just the first step.
Okay, now it's the day after. What would we be doing? And then the question is, well, what's preventing us doing that today?
And he adds, there are concrete things happening out there contributing to the real-world basis for our fears.
Each time there's an additional weapon state, or indeed, each time people make more enriched uranium, one increases the risk that that bomb or the material to make that bomb will go loose, be stolen by some crook, sold to a terrorist group, and used for such a catastrophic result.
It's understandable that policymakers don't want to underestimate the threat, given how calamitous the consequences of an attack might be. But Michael Levy, down at Grand Central Station in New York, says that drives them to inflate the threat and miss some smaller opportunities.
If you think that everyone you're facing is a 10-foot-tall enemy, you discard all sorts of defensive approaches that might actually work against realistic opponents because they don't defeat the Superman that you've got in your imagination.
So while Levy supports efforts to control nuclear proliferation, he cautions against forgetting the smaller things, better border controls on nuclear materials or more sophisticated law enforcement. Others say making nuclear terrorism the main boogeyman causes us to forget some big things too, such as climate change. There's no one big bad enemy in climate change on which to focus our fear. Climate change just isn't ready for prime time. Of course, when it comes to nuclear fear, we already have our boogeyman. That's Osama bin Laden.
Unfortunately, I think it seizes his imagination as well as ours.
Which is why Harvard's Graham Allison believes fear is necessary. For The World, I'm Alex Gallafent. In New York.